In the Bible, there is often found two ways. The way of good, the way of evil, the way of God, and the way of the world, the way of light, the way of darkness. And human beings can follow either one way or the other, light or darkness. God has set forth two ways before us, and He has given us the freedom to walk on either of those ways. The unfortunate thing is that we are all born in the way of darkness. We are all born in sin, the way of darkness. But when God saves us, He takes us out of the way of darkness and He places us in the way of light. Now, instead of using the word way, let me use the word kingdom. We are all born into the kingdom of darkness. Every human being. When we came into this world, we were in the kingdom of darkness. We were ruled by ourselves. We were ruled by the prince of the power of the air. But when God saves us, He translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in the kingdom of God, we call them by different names. The Bible calls us by different names. Saints, holy ones, Christians, the light of the world. And when we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we ought not to go back, or we ought not to practice the things of the kingdom of darkness. That's what Paul is telling us this morning in this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 to 14. That we should live as lights in a dark world. The world is a dark place. It is filled with iniquity, ignorance of God. It is filled with corruption. Why? Because the world is lost. Lost from God, lost from eternal life, lost from righteousness. So the world is a dark place. And Jesus often warned His disciples and those who followed Him to not follow the things of this world. In fact, in John's letter, one of John's letters, he says that we should not love the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it says, he says, they're all passing away. Now, when the Bible says that we should not love the world because the world is filled with darkness, it is not telling us that we should not love the peoples of this world. The Bible does not tell us that as Christians we should not love unbelievers. That's not what it means. When it says that we should not love the world, it's telling us that we should not love the principles of this world. We should not follow the dictates of this world. Because we are different. And that's what Paul is telling us here this morning in our passage. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, or if you have your little rectangular, you can scroll. It's amazing we've gone back to the old days of scrolling. The more things change, the more they remain the same. And it's also on the screen. Don't take what I say for the last word. In other words, prove what I am saying from what it's written in the Word of God. Okay? So, Paul admonishes the believers at Ephesus in our text to not be partakers with them. In the Bible, you see there is often them and us. Us and them. The world and Christians. Those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. But notice the first word in verse 7. That first word in verse 7, the word therefore, is telling us to go back to what Paul was saying, because he's drawing a conclusion. So we'll just go back to verse 6, because I think the therefore is connected to verse 6. So in verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the things that he mentioned earlier in verse 5 and following, the immoral things, in verse 3, immorality and impurity and greed, filthiness, which must not be named, he says that people who practice these things do not have any part in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, he's saying that people who practice immorality, impurity, filthiness, silly talking are not ruled by God. They are not controlled by the power of God. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to be under God's rule, under God's reign, under God's control. And so Paul says that those who practice these things, the wrath of God is upon them. And now in verse 7, he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. So the first reason why we ought to live as lights or not partake of the things of this world is that we are no more under the wrath of God. As Christians, we have been delivered from God's wrath, God's judgment. When you became a Christian, when you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were saved, delivered, you escaped the wrath of God. That cannot be reversed. When you become a Christian, God delivered you from the penalty of sin. If you have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, you take Christ to be your Savior and Lord, you have escaped the penalty of hell. If you have trusted in Christ, you're not under the wrath of God, you're under the grace of God. God cannot, and he would not, change his mind on this, that you are his eternal child. Therefore, we ought not to be partakers of the things that would cause us to be likened to those who are under the wrath of God. Do not partake with them. Interesting, Paul says, do not partake with them. You know, as Christians, we ought to be very careful how we walk and how we intermingle with peoples of the world, with unbelievers. So if a young person has a friend who invites them to do something that is contrary to the will of God, they should refuse to do it. Should not partake with them. So here is the other reason why Paul tells us that we should not partake of these evil things. And to me, this is the most important reason here. In verse 8, notice it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, Paul is saying here that we should not partake of the things of this world because we are different. Your life has been changed. See that in verse 8? "For you were formerly a past pre-Christian life. You were formerly darkness." And that is the truth, as I said earlier, of every person in this world today. We were in darkness. In chapter 2 of this same epistle, Paul says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working in the sons or children of disobedience." So we all were there at one point, walking, living in disobedience. But Paul says that we are different. We have been changed. We have been taken out of darkness, and now we are light. We are light. And I was thinking of this idea that God has taken us who are sinners out of darkness and has made us light. And wherever there is light, there is no darkness, because light dispels darkness. And the light that he's referring to here is, of course, not literal light. He's speaking of spiritual light, a moral light. He's speaking of a life of righteousness and obedience that shines in the world. And I was thinking of this, and I went to the Old Testament, and I realized that God called Israel to be a light to the nations. That's the reason why God called the people of Israel, that they might shine forth the glory of God to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles may also come and worship the same God as Israel. And now in the New Testament, Paul says that the church is the light. You are light. Notice it does not say you are lights. And so the "you" here refers to the church as a whole. But indeed, you and I individually are lights. And to say that the church is the light is to say that we are just like Christ. Because Christ said of himself, you recall, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus Christ was the light of, he is the light of the world, and all those who are in Christ are also light of the world. And that's very important, because we can search every city, every town, every country on this earth today, and we would not find Jesus Christ in person, because he's not on earth in person. He has ascended at the right hand of God the Father. He's in heaven, but he's on earth through the church. And so we are the ones who, the church, we are the ones who continue to shine forth the light of Christ to others, to this world. And so that's a high honor, great privilege, but also a great responsibility. You are light. Notice light in the Lord. That's the privilege. But notice the responsibility in verse 7. Walk as children of light. We should be different. The church ought to be different from the world. This is a very hard lesson for many churches today, many Christians, because we often try to be like the world to get the world to come into the church. But that's very dangerous. The world is in darkness, and the church is the light. We have what the world needs. The world does not have what we need. The world does not have what the church needs. But the church has what the world needs. And that is the light, the life of Christ. And so Paul says, walk as children of light. You know, when God saved us, he could have just taken us up to heaven right away. Right? He could have just ushered us into his presence when he saved us. But he left us, he left the church on earth to be an influence in the world so that the world will come to the light. And we'll see this later on in this passage here. So we have to know who we are. Right? That's what he says in verse 8. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light. Let us think about who we are. In fact, let us think about what we were and who we are. And when we really ponder who we are in the Lord, we'll really appreciate it and seek to be different in this world. Let us spend time thinking of who we are and what we have in Christ. And in verse 9, Paul explains what it is to be children of light. See that parenthesis in verse 9? He says, for the fruit of the light consists, notice, in three things. In all goodness and righteousness and truth. Those are the fruit of the light. Goodness and righteousness and truth. Now I thought of why Paul would say the fruit of the light. The fruit of the light. Why fruit? Well, he calls these virtues fruit because they are not to benefit us, but to benefit others. So when a tree bears fruit, the tree itself doesn't benefit from the fruit, right? No, you walk by, thinking of way back in Grenada when you could have walked by and plucked an orange from a neighbor's tree, or go to someone's orchard and get oranges. We had the freedom to do that back in our country growing up, mind you. Go to someone's yard and you get a mango or a fruit, it was nothing back then. But the tree does not benefit from the fruit. The tree bears the fruit so that people can benefit. And the fruits that we bore as Christians is not for our benefit, but is for the benefit for others, to bless others. And so Paul says that we are children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness. And what he's saying here is that these virtues, goodness, righteousness, and truth, are opposed to the things he mentioned earlier in verses 3 and following: immorality and impurity and greed, filthiness. All of these are not the fruit of the light. They are fruit of the darkness. And as God's children, each of us ought to be bearing fruit. We ought to be doing good. We ought to be righteous. We ought to be telling the truth, living the truth. How can we know, what is this goodness and righteousness and truth? How can we know as God's children? Well, Paul tells us in verse 10, proving what is pleasing in the Lord. So anything that's not pleasing to the Lord does not belong to the light. Anything that we say or do that is not pleasing to the Lord is not fruit of the light. And you see, God's will is for us to please Him in all things. We ought to please Him in all that we say, all that we do. Not to please others, not to please humans. But our ultimate calling as Christians is to please the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy to please the Lord and to please others. But when it comes to pleasing the Lord and there is a conflict in pleasing others, we must please Him first. You recall the apostles in the book of Acts when they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ? You recall their response? They responded that we ought to please God rather than man, than humans. That's what it means to be a Christian, to put God first, to please Him above all things and above all others. Because the recipe for failure is to seek to please everyone. But when you please God first, then you might be pleasing a few Christians. But we please God first. And then Paul further emphasizes the need for us to avoid the things of this world. In verse 11, he says, do not participate, notice, in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. The unfruitful deeds of darkness. Why does he call it unfruitful deeds of darkness? Well, because the works of people in the world, the evil deeds that people do, doesn't actually benefit others. It destroys them. just like the fruits that the tree bore, bless others, nourishes them. And when we practice goodness and righteousness, it nourishes others. The other side of this is that when evil deeds and evil works are practiced, does not nourish others, destroys them. Paul says, do not participate in the fruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Even expose them. Or another word, or reprove them. Why? He says in verse 12, it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. And so God is taking a very harsh stand on evil. And he says, as Christians, we ought to expose the things which are done by them in secret. Why? Well, notice in verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In other words, Paul is saying that when we expose evil, and the person who does the evil changes, then the light of Christ shine upon them. Now, I must say that this is a very hard task for the church, but we ought to, by preaching his word. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Verse 13, Ephesians chapter 5. For everything that becomes visible is light. In other words, Paul is saying here that when someone turns away from evil, from darkness, they turn into the light of Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian. But in order for one to turn away from evil, from darkness, the light of Christ must shine upon that person. The light of Christ must shine upon evil. In order for individuals to know that evil is evil. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. When they are reproved by the light. So as Christians, that's one of our tasks, one of our responsibilities, is to expose the darkness, not partake of it, but to expose by our lives, by what we do and what we say. I receive an email from my friend, one of my friends in the States, seminary friend, and a very long email from him. And in that email, he's telling me that he is leaving the job that he's on. He's leaving it because the atmosphere is too evil for him. He's leaving the job. He cannot take it anymore as a Christian. The seminary grad, I think he has a PhD, but he's in an environment, work environment, where he says it is too much for him. And I ponder that. And he's also leaving because that particular hospital is closing down. But he said he's very happy that he's leaving. He doesn't want to be in that environment anymore. But I thought of it and I said, Isn't that what God wants us to do, where he wants us to be? In the darkest places that we can shine as lights? Yes. We ought not to run from the darkness. As Christians, we ought to stay there and let our lights shine before men so they might see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We ought to be an influence in the world. Can you imagine if God takes the church out from this world? Now, come on, I know that some of you believe that the time will come when the church will be taken out and all the unbelievers will be left. Could you imagine what the world would be like if the church is taken out from this world? Absolute darkness and evil. But that's the reason why God has the church in this world, so that we can be lights, so that you can be light in your home, in your workplaces. Wherever you go, you can shine the light of Christ by doing goodness and living in truth. And so, we should not shun the light. We should rise up, as it says in verse 14. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper. He's quoting a passage from the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:19 and 51:17, other passages in the Old Testament. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Let me read this one. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And so Paul is quoting the Old Testament, and he's saying, as Christians, let us arise. Let us awake from our sleep. Let us arise so that Christ will shine upon us. And when he shines upon us, then the world will come and see Christ and be in the light. So may the Lord cause us as a church, if we are sleeping, to be awake and to arise from the dead, and let the light of Christ shine upon us for the world to see him through us. That's our responsibility. That's our calling as God's people. See, the Christian life is not just, oh, I am saved and that's it. No, there is a reason why he saved us. He saved us so that we can bring others to the light. And we only have a short time, right? We have a few years that God has given to us. Just a few years. Maybe 20 years, 50 years. 90 years, 100 years, just a short time. But let us make hay while the sun shines. Let us make use of the opportunity to bring others to the light, and then the light of Christ will shine upon. And let us pray for others who are still in darkness, that the light of Christ may shine upon them. Let us not partake. Neither let us condemn those who are in darkness. Let us not condemn, but let us pray for them. Let our lights shine. And we can do that by simply talking to people. Simply getting to know them. Maybe having a little Tim Hortons with them. just to get to know them and to find out what makes them tick. And they may ask you, why are you a Christian? And there might be a conversation from that. But there are many different ways that we can shine our lights in this world. I pray that God will give us grace and opportunities to allow our lights to shine in the darkness. Father, we thank you for the light of Christ, and thank you for making us lights. We pray that our lights will not go dim, but that it will continue to shine brighter and brighter until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Thank you for each one here today, for those who are still in darkness, who are present in our midst, or who might be hearing my voice today. I ask that you will take them out of darkness and bring them into your marvelous light. And for those of us who are already in the light, we pray that you'll help us to shine that light to others, that they might come to know Christ, be taken out of the darkness of death and discouragements and depression and sin and the wrath of God, and may come to the light, the life of Christ. For his glory and honor we pray. Amen and amen.